again. Every year I get stuck here in Khan Sipor, and I get stuck again. So the pasuk says ki yikarei Khan Sipor lefanecha. Rashi says ki yikarei prat lemezuman. You can't set it up, right? It's got to happen accidentally. Khan Sipor is a nest, but derech bekol eitz ol haaretz. Kol eitz ol haaretz. Efrochim o beitzim. Now in this nest you have chicks or eggs, you know, unhatched eggs. Ha'em rovetzed ala efrochim ala beitzim. Lo tikach ha'em ala banim. You should not take the mother with the chicks. Rashi says, lo tikach ha'em ba'oda al baneha. So if you see a nest and the nest has chicks and a mother, don't take the, you want the chicks, don't take the chicks with the mother. Then the next pasuk says, Shalech to shalach et ha'em et ha'banim tikach lach. Send away the mother, let it fly on, take the chicks with you, the banim it's called in the pasuk. So the first curious thing is that there's a reward. Usually, I mean, there are many mitzvot in the parasha of Ki Teitzei, but they don't contain rewards. They tell you the mitzvah, and that's the end on the prohibition. So Rashi says, Leman Yitav Lach, Imitzvah Kalah, if there's this, he calls it a mitzvah kala, because it doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you anything to perform the mitzvah. Right? You know, Jews manage to take advantage of their brethren by charging for an esrog, which costs somebody like a shekel. Charge you 200 shekels for it. I mean, why not? Even though I understand that this year it's going to be better than it usually is. In mitzvah kalah she'em chisaron kis. This mitzvah shiloh makam doesn't cost you anything. Amra Torah the man yitav lach barach dayamim, and the Torah is so like exuberant in the reward yitav lach barach dayamim. Kal v'chomer. This is certainly true for mitzvot chamurot. What's mitzvot chamurot? Mitzvot that cost you money to perform. Like, you know, today, eating a piece of matzah on Pesach costs you a lot of money. So if you eat the piece of matzah, you will certainly be rewarded, just as you're rewarded with shluch hakach. So you have to say, like, what was Rashi thinking? Rashi was thinking that it's very strange that the Torah says the man yitav lach barach dayamim, and it comes to teach me something which is sort of a general statement. And general statements are better than particularistic statements. That's what Rashi says. So since I learned that mitzvot have sachar, that's what I learned, and individual mitzvot apparently have sachar, like shiluch hakan. So this is a chiddush, I guess, that it's not all, it doesn't all go together. Like in heaven, they have this big computer and they always decide, where are you on the sachar ba'onish scale? Right? It's not like that. You do a mitzvah, you get sachar. So now this shiluch hakan. What?
Isn't that what that he says is in book is so in kiss? Isn't there an obvious one? Like you could have the mother, you could have a chicken, and you could have eggs. But with this mitzvah, you lose the chicken.
No, it's not your chicken. It's a bird. Somebody else. It's a bird. It's a wild bird. It's not yours. It's nothing to do with you. Like this bird is like where the nest is built is a halachic question. But let's say it's built in your bathroom. You know, like the window. There's a window, and some industrious bird built a nest. So then you could do shiluch hakan. It's not your birds. It's a bird. It doesn't belong to you. You're thinking about, you'll see what you're thinking about in a minute. So it became a problem. Somehow, Shiluch HaKad. Now here the historians would have to tell us how this problem took place. But if you turn the page to the second side, right? So you see there's a Mishnah. It's towards the bottom third of the page. Masechet Brachot Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, HaOmer HaKan Tzipo Yagiru Rachamecha, V'al Tov Yizacher Shemecha, Modim Modim, Mishatkim Oto. So we know that when people davened at some time in Jewish history, very early, right, the Mishnah, it's the Mishnah. The Mishnah is early, as far as we know. It's either before the Churban Beit HaMikdash, or it's even before the Beit HaMikdash. Davening became very important because the Beit HaMikdash was under the jurisdiction of corrupt Kohanim. And therefore, the people who did not want to associate with the corrupt Kohanim davened. They davened according to the presentation of Chazal, which was that you should say Shmona Esrei. That's how you do the mitzvah of tefillah. You say Shmona Esrei. Right? That's what it was. But there was a certain kind of fluid aspect to what Shmona Esrei was. Some people said this and some people said that. There was a general framework, but it wasn't always adhered to. So the Mishnah says, Omer, Al Kan Tzipo Yagiu Rachamecha. Somehow, this was put into the Shmona Esrei. This became part of the Tefillah. And the Tefillah, what was the Tefillah? So we look at the Gemara. Look at the Gemara. Bishlama Modi Modi Mishat Kimoto. As I understand that the Mishnah says that you shouldn't say Modim twice. Why would you want to say Modim twice? Well, we say Modim twice, don't we? I mean, you know, we do exactly what the Mishnah says you shouldn't do.
I thought it was consecutive Modims rather than maybe. Two different Modims.
Okay. But it's we say it in the same place that we say the first Modim, we say another Modim. But nobody cares about that. Maybe they all have your Svara. Maybe. But the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Modim, Modim, Shatkin Oto, Mishum, the Mechze Kishtei Rishuyot. It's sort of you saying, Modim here, and Modim there. What Shtei Rishuyot mean?
Two deities.
What? Two, well, I don't know about that. But two authorities. Two authorities in the world. You know that the Persian religion, which is called Zoroastrianism, there were two authorities. There was the good and the evil. And even though at the end we know that the good is going to beat the evil, I'm talking about the Zoroastrians, nevertheless, right now, you have to modify or pacify both of them, right? The good and the evil. So there's a pasuk. There's a pasuk in Yeshayah. There's a pasuk in the Navi Yeshayah which says, Yotze Or Uvorei Choshech, Ose Shalom Uvorei Ra, Uvorei Ra. This became a problem. I mean, it's a great pasuk, but it wasn't good for people living under Persian influence, because it sounds like the Navi said, Ose Shalom Uvorei Ra, that there's the deity of peace, of Shalom, and then there's Borei Ra, which could be understood in our theology, but reminded people of the Persian religion. And so Chazal, in a bold move, changed it. And we say, Yotzero Barichosh Yisrael Shalom Uborei Et Hakol. And, I mean, I think if anybody tried to do that today, he would be in big, he or she, would be in big trouble. But they did it. They did it because they thought that not doing it was worse. It was somehow that pasuk got into the tefillah. It became part of the bracha that you say before Kriyat Shema. Right? How that happened, I don't know. I think it's an interesting study, but I have no idea. So again it says, Modim Modim Yishatkin Ota Mishum Demechzei Kishtei Rishuyot. Val Tuv Yizacher Shmecha, that second line in the Mishnah, Nami Mashma Ala Tova Velo Ala Ra'ah. So that sort of says God is responsible for Tovah, but God is not responsible for Ra'ah. Right? Some kind of... So these were all positions, I guess, that people had. Some people said that there's God of Tovah, there's God of Ra'ah, there's authority of this, authority of that, and that was what the Mishnah is talking about. Right? To Tanan, and they say... There's a Tanaitic source that says Chayav Adam Levarech Al Ra'ah Kishem Shuvarech Al Tovah. What does that mean? Chayav Adam Levarech Al Ra'ah Kishem Shuvarech Al Tovah. Because everything comes from God. Everything comes from the same source. And the distinction between Tov Ura may just be a Fata Morgana. Yes? In other words, Tov and Ra is only our perception of it. But who says there's Tov and Ra? Maybe everything is Tov. No? I mean, it could be. It could be. In any event, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Chayav Adam Levarech Al Ra'ah, Kishem Shevarech Al Tovah. Because all of it comes from God. And if all of it comes from God, it must all be Tov. That's how it was in Bri'ah, in Bri'at HaOlam. Vayar Elokim ki Tov. Vayivarech Elokim. Tov is the name of God's handiwork. The word Tov. God did it, Tov. So everything falls into that category. And therefore, I say, it may be that the distinction between Tov and Ra is something that, like everybody knows, the Rambam says. The Rabbi says, you don't know what's Tov and Ra. You know, sometimes you want something, you want to go on a trip, you want to go to a place, you want to do something, and you don't get what you want. And then some great tragedy happens to the people who did. Right? So you don't know. First you thought it was terrible that you didn't get what you wanted. And then suddenly you realize you were saved from this tragedy. So
it was tragedy for them.
Yes? No, they weren't. But if you would have been there, you would have also had been in that tragedy. So what?
It was rough.
No, but when you didn't get chosen to go on this trip, you thought that was rough. Now you say, oh, that was not rough at all. That was salvation for me. It was rough for them, but it was not rough for me. So you can't tell. Tovah, I mean, you can make this argument. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying you can make the argument that Tov and Ra are not identifiable. They're not easily identified, but this is a very well-known concept. So the Gemara finally says, it says, El al kansiboy yagiru rachamecha maitama. What about this third thing? About kansiboy yagiru rachamecha. This is the third thing in the Mishnah, right? So what is that all about? Maitama, pligi batreya mora'e, bima'arava. There are two emora'im, who disagree about the meaning of this sentence in the Ma'arav. Ma'arav, where's the Ma'arav? In Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the Ma'arav. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida, these are the two Emoraim. Chadamar, Mipnei shematil kin'a b'maseh bereshit. Mipnei shematil kin'a b'maseh Bereshit, Rashi. You see the Gemara Rashi right in the middle. Matil Kina, you see that? Yes? No? Lomar al Eile Chas velo al Sha'ar Briotav. It's as though somebody says, oh, how wonderful God is that he worried about the Tzipor and the Kan, but apparently God was not so concerned about the other animals. Right, the other animals don't have that kind of mercy. So that's Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, who said, okay. Chadamar, the other one says, and this seems to be the more serious position, Rashi says, Midotav is Mitzvotav. Mitzvotav. In other words, God commanded us to do a variety of things. If you say Al Tansipo Yevorachamecha, it's as though you say God was merciful. which is the same as saying that in other times God was not merciful. Right? They have this problem with attributing a midah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a problem with attributing a personality trait to God. You say, oh, that means God is merciful. So what about the other cases where you didn't have that opening? So you're saying that other cases God is and lacks mercy? No good, right? Midotav. V'Rashi, v'hu lo l'rachamim asa. It's obvious that God did not do it in order to be merciful. El lahatil al Yisrael chukei gzeirotav. But God meant to direct his gzeirot, his edicts to Bnei Yisrael. This is what you have to do. This is what you have to avoid doing. Lohodia shehem avadav. They are his slaves. V'shomrei mitzvotav. And they keep his mitzvot u'gzeirot chukotav. Av bedvarim sheyesh l'satan u'l'nachrim lasig al lashiv aleihem. Even those mitzvot that the goyim or reasonable people, right, outside of the Jewish community, will think are silly. They'll say, what do you need this for? What do you need this mitzvah for? What does it do for you? What do you get from this mitzvah? Right? So again, Chadamar, this is the second opinion. Well, I don't know. But what I remember from learning Chumash is that after the Chet HaEgel, right? After the Chet HaEgel, there was a Chiddush that was brought into the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem, Hashem, Kerachu B'chanon, Erech HaPayim, Chesed, Ve'emet. Right? That's what it says in the Pasuk. It says that God will treat the situation of Bnei Yisrael, of the Egel Azar, of their punishment, Rachum V'chanum, with mercy. Not mercy with din, not Rachamim and din, but just mercy. So what is the Gemara talking about? Well, how can you say that if I attribute a mitzvah to divine mercy, that I'm doing something that contradicts my relationship to God? That's something that I find it difficult to understand.
Maybe Rashi also found it difficult to understand, and that's why Rashi feels the need to redefine mitotav as mitzvotav. And not, I mean, he's really redefining what the statement is. It's not talking about God's attributes, it's talking about the agenda and goal of mitzvot in the world. They are not to achieve, you know, for the sake of achieving mercy, they are for the sake of achieving obedience. Mm.
I think you could say that in a more kind of quasi-mystical way. You could say that the mitzvot of the Torah precede the Chet HaEgel. And the mitzvot of the Torah have to be judged as though they exist before the Chet HaEgel. And if you say that this Chanun v'Rachum, Rav Chesed v'Emet, took place because of the Chet HaEgel, so then you still should not attribute Rachum v'Chanun to the mitzvahs which preceded. But there's a greater problem here, and that problem is, do I know what the mitzvot are about? Do I know what the mitzvot are for? So we know that the Rambam had a theory that he exhibits in the Mora Nevuchim, which is that there may be different kinds of solutions to the question of Tamei HaMitzvot. One solution might be, mitzvot are good for you. Right? They're good for the community, they're good for the family, they're good for your religion, the way you're devoted to it, they're good for you. It's the thing. Does that mean that that's the only reason that the mitzvah would have? Perhaps not. Even though the Rambam doesn't clearly say this in the Mora Nevuchim, nevertheless, we can assume that that's what the Rambam really thought. So, let's look first at the Rambam and the Perush HaMishnah. You see the bottom of the page? Way at the bottom. Inyan Amro al Kansipo Yagirach HaMecha Hu Sheyomar Kishem Shechasta al Kansipo Vamata Lo Tikach HaEm al Abanim Kach Chus Aleinu. It's as though the Rambam says, we can make this into a tefillah. And you say, just like you had mercy on this bird, have mercy on us as well. Have mercy on us as well. She'omer kein mishatkin oto. But somebody who says that, you have to tell him to keep quiet. Lefi shehu omer sheta mitzvah zo biglal rachmei HaKadosh Baruch Hu al ha'ov. What you're really saying is that the reason for this mitzvah is mercy on the bird. Ve'eino kein. This is not true. Lefi she'ilu haya derech rachamim lo haya matir hashchita klal. And here you have it. That's the problem. That is the problem. The problem has nothing to do with kansipor. The problem has to do with shchita. The problem has to do with Shechita, that if God was merciful, and if God was sent to chase away the mother because of mercy, rachamim, then how could God tell us to go around and slaughter animals in order to eat? Okay? Lo haya matir Shechita klal, ela haya mitzaveh shem'eit she'ein lahem mitzaveh shem'eit she'ein lahem ta'am. But God commanded us to do this, and there's no reason for it. We can't perceive the reason. V'chein im amar al tov yisacher shemecha, yotzei mikach shara lo yisacher. The same thing is true. V'zeh hefech ha-din. This is the opposite of what is the case. L'fi shechovat lo dotla al ha-tov v'al ha-ra. So what does the Rambam say? How does the Rambam add to our understanding? The Rambam says, look, the main problem is that rachamim is not divisible. If God had mercy on the animals that He, God, created, then there shouldn't be any difference between the birds and the other big animals that you're allowed to slaughter for food. That's what the Rambam says, and therefore, you shouldn't say, since God had mercy on the bird, please God have mercy on me, because there's no reason to think that God had mercy on the birds, right? That's what the Rambam says. That's how the Rambam understands it. So this is.
So does he propose a reason? What? Does he propose a reason then? What's a,
is why, he proposing
a rationale? I mean,
the Rambam.
Yeah, I mean, Barachti Amim. I mean, so what? Why does that pasuk say that then?
Why does it say Barachti Amim in the pasuk?
Right.
According to Rashi, it's just accidental.
And then behind the Rambam.
That everybody. The Rambam doesn't explain
it. It doesn't say by Paraduma, which he's saying is like equally not understandable.
No, Paraduma is, we agree, is not understandable. That's the whole point of it, is to have something that's not understandable.
But according to Rambam, the fact that it says the reason in the pasuk lends one to think that there might be a rationale.
What right reason? You mean the reward?
Right.
Okay, so let's look at this Rambam. There are several Rambams in the Mor Nevuchim that are relevant, but I only have one of them. This says the only speaker to support the idea I have, I forgot what I was made by them, which at, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Let's look at just the Breishit Rabbah, and then we'll look at this Rambam and the guide. You see the Breishit Rabbah on this page? Achar ha-dvarim ha-eile Hayad var Hashem al Avram Emachazel imor v'gomer Hayel tamim darko Amarta Hashem Tzrufa Magenhu Lekol ha-chosim bo. That Tzrufa means the purification metals Right? You take out the part you don't want. Im derachav tmimim hu alachat kama v'kama. God's ways are tmimim. Tmimim means perfect. Rav amar, lo nitnu mitzvot ela letzarev ba'emet abriyot. God gave us mitzvot only to purify us. Right? So we could do things that God wants us to do, and in that way, we become a certain kind of person. V'chi ma'ech patle la'kadosh baruch hu l'mi she'shochet min ha'tzavar u'mi she'shochet min ha'oref. He says, after all, what possible difference could there be to God if you slaughtered an animal min ha'tzavar, which is the way we do it, or min ha'oref, or if you took the knife and you cut off his head from the back of it? What difference does it make to God? I mean, this is like an important theological position, which is again repeated again and again by the later commentaries. But this is the Medrash Rabbah, the Bereishit Rabbah, which is Tanaim. Havei lo nitnu mitzvot ela letzareif bahem et abriyot. But why did God tell us to do shechita from the neck? Is that God said, do it my way. Do it my way. Not because it's better, or it's different, or it makes a difference to the animal, or it makes a difference to God. The only difference that there is that I'm doing what God tells me to do. That's what I am. I'm the person who does what God tells me to do. Havei lo nitnu mitzvot ela letzareif bahem et abriyot. Mitzvot are not there to improve things, to make it better, to tell us how to make a community, how to live a better life. They are there in order that we should become mitzvah doers. And to be a mitzvah doers, we mitzareif et abriyot. You purify. Davar acher, ha'el tamim darko, ze Avraham she'ne'emar, matzata et levavo ne'eman lefanecha, amret Hashem tshuva. The words of God are purifying. She'tzirfu ha'kadosh baruch hu b'kibshat ha'esh, So the other opinion is that the pasuk specifically talks about Avraham Avinu. But our interest here is that the mitzvot come litzareif et abriyot. In other words, they don't teach us a way of life. They don't teach us what we're supposed to be like. And that idea is found in the mitzvah of Shechita, where Chazal said this interesting thing. They said, what difference does it make how you kill the animal? What difference does it make? I mean, you're going to kill him and eat him. I mean, so that God gave us a mitzvah called Shechita in order that we should adhere to the divine will. That was the lesson, adhering to divine will. So now let's look at the guide. Let us look at the guide. In this sense, they always speak as scriptural texts support the idea. I have, however, found one utterance made by them in Bereishit Rabbah, which might at first sight appear to imply that some commandments have no other reason but the fact that they are commanded, that no other object is intended by them, that they do not serve any useful object. I mean the following passage. I hope you recognize it. What difference does it make to God whether a beast is killed by cutting its neck in front or in the back? Surely the commandments are only intended as a means of trying man. In accordance with the verse, the word of God is a test. Although this passage is very strange and has no parallel in the writings of our sages, I explain it, as you shall soon hear, in such a manner that I remain in accord with the meaning of their words, and do not depart from the principle which we agreed upon, that the commandments serve a useful object. So the Rambam could not bear it. He couldn't bear it. That there's something that God tells us to do, to which we cannot apply seichel, which we cannot apply da'at. is it doesn't make any sense to the Rambam. Because anything that represents God's will comes from intelligence, doesn't come from unintelligence. So why say that God doesn't care about whether you shecht an animal from the throat or from the back? I mean, why say such a thing? So the Rambam himself has downgraded that statement even before he explains his position. He's downgraded. He says there's no other statement like it. No one else said this. The only place that you have this statement, and it goes, of course, it runs contrary to everything in the Guide to the Perplexed. The Guide is also a book of Ta'amei Mitzvot, of rationale of mitzvot, and the Rambam is committed to the idea that mitzvot have a purpose. They do something for you. They help you. They create what should be. So he says, I have not said to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, declare that which is right, that I will now tell you what intelligent persons ought to believe in this respect. I mean, you know, nobody wants to be left out if he says that the following is for intelligent people. Namely, that each commandment has necessarily a cause as far as its general character is concerned and serves a certain object. You know, it has a purpose. Every mitzvah has a purpose. The Rambam says, thus killing animals for the purpose of obtaining good food is certainly useful, as we intend to show. That however the killing should not be performed by nechira, pole axing the animal. I know what that is, but I know what nechira is. You do it through the nose, like through the nose of the animal. That the killing should not be performed by nechira. Nechira is a Hebrew word, but by shechita, cutting the neck, and by dividing the esophagus and the windpipe in a certain place. These regulations and the like are nothing but tests for man's obedience. In this sense, you will understand the example quoted by the sages, that there is no difference between killing an animal, cutting its neck in front and cutting it in back. I give this instance only because it is mentioned by our sages. But in reality, there is some reason for these regulations. For as it has become necessary to eat the flesh of animals, it was intended by the above regulations to ensure an easy death and to effect it by subtle means. Whilst decapitation requires a sword or a similar instrument, the shechita can be performed with any instrument. And in order to ensure an easy death, our sages insisted that the knife should be well sharpened. Okay. So the Rambam distinguishes between the idea of it, the big idea, and the details of it. He says it could be that the details, you know, have a purpose, but they may also have the purpose of the tzarif and the briot, which means I want you to be able to accept the divine command. That's the tzarif et abriot. So the Rambam makes this distinction, which he makes at other times as well. That there's a difference between the mitzvah as an idea and the mitzvah as a how do you do it? How do you specifically do it? And how you specifically do it, that could be the tzarif et abriot, because they're even though I can understand what's going on, but you just have a lot of different regulations about shechita, and those regulations are in the briot. However, the idea of shechita is necessary because you have to eat. Because you have to eat food, right? You know that, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Adam HaRishon, I guess Chava, were not vegetarians. They were not vegetarians, at least according to Tosus, Adab Sanites. But Adam HaRishon and Chava were not allowed to kill animals for food. But according to Tosfot, they were allowed to eat carrion. which I think means animals killed by other animals. You know, they were allowed to eat the meat of carrion, of animals killed by animals. And so, later on, when eating meat became part of life, of real life, Shechita was a way of limiting, of saying, I do it with God's approval. I do it with the approval, with God's approval. So you have this idea that, yeah, we have now come up with this idea that mitzvot are very important, and very important not to attribute, in other words, for the Rambam, saying a mitzvah is good for me is not the same as saying it's because of the way God is. You can't say it's because of the way God is, right? The Gemara says it many times, that you can't go on and you can't praise God for the way God is. Like you could, like we do say in Shmoneh Esrei, Akel Agadol Agibor Vanora, we say something about God. But then the Gemara says the only reason that we can say that is because Moshe Rabbeinu said it in the Torah. It's written in the Torah, Akel Agadol Agibor Vanora. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to say it. You can't say anything about God, which is a kind of a human trait. But I can say that the mitzvah that God gave me, right, is to teach me something. And that's what the Ramban, that's the distinction that the Ramban makes about Oto ve'et bino. Right, you know about Oto ve'et bino? Just look at the Ramban for a minute, and then we'll try to summarize it. It's this very long Ramban. Again, you see the Ramban, Ki Kare Kansi Kolofa, the Ramban gets right into it. The Ramban lived after the Ramban. Gam zo mitzvah mevo'eret min oto ve'et bino lo tishchetu b'yom echad. There is this very strange mitzvah about oto and bino, that you can't slaughter the mother and the calf, or the mother and the child on the same day. Ki hatam b'shnehem levilti heyot lanu leiv achzari v'lo nerachem. That both of these mitzvot, the mitzvah of Kan Sipor, the mitzvah of Oto and Vet Beno, come to teach me how I should be. That I should be merciful, right? And I should not be cruel. O shelo yatir hakatuv, la sot hashchata, la akor hamin, ava pishitir hashchita, b'minahu. So he says, it may be that the reason for these mitzvot is, well, you could do shechita, you can eat that meat, but you cannot wipe out the min. A min is a species. You can't wipe out the species. That's asur, because that's an act against creation. B'minahu. If you kill the mother and the offspring on the same day, and if you prevent them from freedom, it's as though you are doing away with that species. And he quotes the Rambam, Kitam Shiloh Hakan. These two mitzvot, you shouldn't kill the offspring when the mother is looking, because the animal itself is very concerned. There's no difference. This is the Rambam. That the animals and the human being are the same in terms of concern. Ki avat ha'ein וחנותה לפני ביטנה אינו נמשך אחרי השכל והדיבור. So the animals don't have so much seichel. Oh, they can't speak. אבל הוא מפעולת כוח המחשבה מצויה בבהמות כאשר היא מצויה באדם. There's no difference between a behema and an Adam bin Cain. You put these two things together, right? You put this, I'm not going to cause distress to the animals, and I'm going to teach myself how I should be, how I should act in other situations. Bin Cain, just to the end of the paragraph. Eini kare isu boto b'dmo rak b'vino v'oto, aval hakol harchaka. Yoter nachon, the Ramban says, b'avur shelo nitachzer. My first interpretation. V'amar harav, v'al tashiv alay mimamar hachamim, omer kan sipo yagir hachamecha, ki zo achat mishtei svarot. Svarat mi sheyirae, ki ein tam le mitzvot, ela chafetz chepes haborei, v'anach l'machzikim mitzvara shniya, the Ramban says, we don't hold that mitzvot have no reason at all, sheye b'kol mitzvot tam. וכשאלב עוד מה שמצא בבראשית רבה וכימה אכפת לו לקדוש ברוך הוא בין שוחד מן הצוואר לשוחד מן האורך הלא נתנו המצוות אלא לצרף בהם את הבריאות שנאמר כל אמרת אלוקה צרופה. So I would like to try to summarize. I'm going to try to summarize this matter. There were mitzvot. Most of the mitzvot don't seem to have an obvious reason, right? Doesn't have an obvious reason that connects back to God. If God says to us, it'll be good for you to tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim on Pesach. So that doesn't seem to obviously have anything to do with God. I mean, other than the fact that it's a mitzvah. But it's not because God is going to tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Right? So that's called a mitzvah. It has nothing to do with God. It all has to do with us. We are the ones who will benefit somehow if we tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. The same thing is true about sitting in a sukkah. We sit in a sukkah. I mean, God doesn't sit in a sukkah. So God says to us, look, you know, there's history and there's the past and there are events that took place, and it'll be good for you. It'll be good for you to remind yourself of these things. To be able, but nobody would think that God is sitting in a sukkah, or that God is eating in a matzah, or that the reason that God told me to sit in a sukkah was because God is sitting in the sukkah and he likes it so much. Right? So that's most of the mitzvot. But there are two mitzvot in particular that caught the attention of Chazal. Right? The two mitzvot are Kan Tzipor and Oto Ve'et Bino. These two mitzvot. And when they thought about it, the idea of mercy, of rachamim, came up. Right? It's an act of mercy. Kan Tzipor, act of mercy. Oto Ve'et Bino is an act of mercy. So that it would seem that mercy, even though it's not stated in the creation, right? You know that God created the world. And all the things that God created are in the first chapter of Bereshit. And Rashi adds one thing to that list, Rashi. Right? It says in the Pasuk, Naseh Adam B'Tzalmeinu Kidmeteinu. Yes, you remember that Pasuk? And what does Rashi say? Ad V'Sanuso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hizo. What does that mean? So I think it means that, well, Rashi explains that God consulted with the heavenly host, should we make this man or not, right? So of course the heavenly host said, what do we need him for? We, you know, you could do with us, but God made man in any event. Nevertheless, God consulted with the Beit Din Shel Mala. God consulted. So Rashi says it this way, Ad V'tanuto Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hizot. This is a sign of God's humility. Now that's crazy. Why is it crazy? Because we just got finished. Everybody agrees you can't make attributions of a midah to God. God doesn't have humility. And God doesn't have a lack of humility. God is in Breishit, Perek Aleph. It all comes out right. Whatever is supposed to be is going to be. So that I think that the more correct pshat is that God created humility for the benefit of man. It was without Nasa Adam Mitzalmenu Chidmutenu, there wouldn't be any humility. And therefore, God created and consulted with the Beit Din Shemala in order that man should be created under the banner of humility. And we know that the greatest man of all men, whoever lived at the time of the Torah, certainly, right, is called Anav. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu's epitaph is. He is the greatest of the men. He is humble. He is humble. Okay, you have to think about what humility means. You know, humility doesn't always mean being self-effacing, but humility means for Moshe Rabbeinu that he really knew his place. Because he was always standing before God. That's what the Rambam says. That even Moshe Rabbeinu is walking around, he could like immediately connect to God. His communication, lines of communication were open. That's what the Rambam says. So humility is something that God created, not that God had, so to speak. So attributing a midah, a personality trait to God, was problematic. Whereas everybody, or a lot of people said, here, look at this, just like God is Rahman, so he wants us to be Rahmanim. But God is not, again, this problem of midot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, came up again. And so the Rambam and the Ramban and the Mishnah and the Rambam on the Mishnah, they all deal with this question. How can you say that God is a Rachaman? How can you say that God is a Rachaman? Even the Pasuk of Hashem Rachum B'chanon Lechapar V'chesed Be'met comes after the Chayta Egel, and only to sort of take care of that problem. So the solution for the Rishonim, was to say either that God wants to teach us Rachamim, right? That Rachamim is not just when you have an extreme case, but even when something is mutar. I mean, it's mutar to eat the chicks. It's mutar to take the eggs. It's mutar to slaughter the animal. That even when it's mutar, it's like the various sources talk about doctors. Tov sheberofim harog. What does that mean? Does it mean that a person can become insensitive to what he does? So if a doctor, in the good old days, would let blood, you know, that was like a major cure. Like instead of antibiotics, they would like take out some blood. So if a doctor did that to everybody he saw, well, eventually he wouldn't be so impressed by taking blood out of people, and he might turn into a less than important kind of personality. So that's Tov Sheberofim. So we have to protect ourselves against feelings of the feeling that we can act mercilessly against the creation and the creatures in creation. And therefore, God said, Kansipor is a mitzvah. But the Mishnah says, you can't attribute mercy to God, because that would be a falsification of God's nature. Yes, Oto et Bino comes to make sure that we maintain the proper perspective about mercy. Because if we just keep killing animals all the time, I don't know if you're ever in a slaughterhouse, but if you never have been, there's no reason to go. To see what goes on is, you know, devastating to the naive personalities that learn Torah and try to raise Jewish families. So you could become unmerciful. Like, even if you were merciful before you went to the slaughterhouse, you could lose it. You can lose it because you see the Torah is causing so much pain and anguish for the animals. So the Rambam says, yeah, pain and anguish. You have to consider the pain and the anguish of the animals as well. So you have this kind of discussion. Is it about God? Is it about me? Right? And generally speaking, the Mishnah rejects the idea that it's about God and that God is merciful, therefore he doesn't want us to do anything that's not merciful. And we generally speaking, and therefore you shouldn't say Al-Kan Sipo Yagiru Rachamecha, which means, according to the Rambam, just like you are merciful on the Kan Sipo, you should have mercy on us. That's not a proper way to daven because it assumes something about God. Nevertheless, it's clear that the Kan Sipo and the Osam come teach me that the Midah of Rachamim is something I have to work on. It's not something that I have automatically. And it depends on what you do with your life. You know, like if you spend your life in the slaughterhouse, you better work harder. If you spend your life letting blood out of people and trying to imagine that you're curing them, so you have to work harder. I assume that it's true about doctors as well. The doctors, on the one hand, have a tremendous opportunity to do chesed and be merciful, but they also have probably this idea that if you do something a lot, you do it over and over again, you kind of lose track of the merciful aspect of it, and that the patients are also people; they're not just patients, and that's difficult sometimes for certain doctors, for some doctors, to keep a hold of. So this is this idea is expanded at great length by the Maharal in Tiferet Yisrael, and he goes on to explain how you have to differentiate, as we say, between God and what God wants of us. And what this teaches us is that being merciful is something that you have to work at. It's not something which is automatic. It's not like you read a passage in the Parashat HaShavua, Al-Kan Sipo Yagir Rachamecha, the Mishnah, that now I'm merciful. I got it, I'm merciful. But that we are actually malleable as people. It depends on our experience, depends on our interest, depends on how devoted we are to an idea or to what we think is God's will. And that's what the story of Kan Sipor is about. Have a good Shabbos.